This is Five Things About Éomer, a Lord of the Rings comment fic, written by Catri and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG, contains the pairing Éomer-Lothariel, and contains some spoilers for the end of the Lord of the Rings saga. 1. He is a solitary man. Part of this is because he and his sister came to their uncle's house as children, and Théoden King was already pushing away his own son in his grief. Théodred was kind to them, but older, and soon a marshal himself. Thus, he and Éowyn were all too often left to themselves, and the folk of the Mark are expected to grow up quickly. And, too, he was ever the elder, and the only son of his father, and it was his duty to see to his sister's welfare, even above his own. When the war is over, he sees Éowyn and Faramir, and rejoices in her happiness, but he has the crown and the keep to see to, and doesn't expect to find any for himself. 2. He thought he was going to die at Pelennor Fields. He thought the end was come, and finding his sister's body on the field, mere feet from that of his uncle, merely seemed to confirm it. There are songs now of how he roused his men to battle fury in that last rout, of the spears he threw, but he doesn't remember any of it. Sometimes he dreams of a feeling like ice in his stomach and burning behind his eyelids, and he knows he was thinking of Pelennor. But that's all the battle glory has ever meant to him, nightmares and madness. He tried to explain it to Éowyn once, but she didn't believe him, or affected not to. They call her Lady of the Shield Arm now, but she never talks about the battle either. So maybe they aren't as different as he sometimes has wondered. 3. War is all he has ever really known. He was 14 when he went on his first patrol with the Riders, and for years, the length and breadth of Rohan was more of a home to him than the Keep or the Golden Hall. Even after he is crowned king, he rides with his men to weed out the last pox of the land. He is more comfortable by far with a sword and a spear than sitting at court. He is thankful King Elisar is of the same mind, as is Prince Faramir, though of course he, born and bred in the White City, can also be very formal and reserved. Prince Imrahil is even more so. He thinks it must have to do with living behind stone walls all your life. 4. Meeting Lothariel the way he did was an accident. Everyone knows that. Falling in love with her was an accident, too. But some of the Gondorian gossips will tell you that his proposal to her was an accident, that he had no way of knowing that in Dol Amroth, a man gifting flowers to a maiden was tantamount to posting bonds. And it is true that in Rohan, such presents are simple things, because true wealth is counted in horses and grain. But that is a lie. He knew exactly what he was doing when he picked them for her himself. She didn't know that, though, and the flush of pleasure warring with embarrassment as she tried to explain it to him was pleasing. But not half as pleasing as when he asked her what sort of fool she thought the King of the Mark was. And he did know a thing or two about diplomacy, princess, and would she be so kind as to accept so that he might kiss her as he'd been longing to do these last several weeks? And then she finally understood, and he got his kiss, and later on the both of them got much more. 5. In his later years, he looks on his kingdom and he doesn't quite recognize it. The generation of his sons and daughters have always known safety, have known that the patrols along Fangorn and Ithilien are for peacekeeping purposes rather than for hunting orc. The songs sung by bards at the hearth are about people he has known, and sometimes about him. He knows he should find it glorious, but he doesn't. He doesn't stop them singing because it makes everyone else feel joyous and drink deeply. But when it starts, Lothariel is soon with him, her hand on his arm and her voice in his ear, pointing out this or that and making him laugh. And soon enough the song is done and they've moved on to some elvish patter instead, though there are few enough of those about as well. Even Legolas' colony in Ithilien shrinks year by year, it seems. The dwarves and hobbits grow ever less eager to travel from their own lands, saving, of course, those left of the old fellowship. Aylmer supposes that the age of man has begun in truth. He knows not what it means, but then he looks around at the face of his kith and kin, and he finds it does not trouble him o'er much either. The end.